This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning. It's a brand new day. It's Monday. It's a new week. And it's almost the end of May. All of that information in your first sentence this morning. Take that and smoke it first thing, right?
Oh, now I know where I am.
Right, exactly. How was everybody's weekend?
Good.
Very, very good.
Yes, yes, yes. Sia, what did you do?
Oh, well, I had such a varied weekend, from chilling on Friday night to sort of staying in on Saturday. Uh-huh. And then my whole Sunday was revolved around a Miss SA viewing party, as one does. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you do nail the viewing parties. Yeah?
I like to think of myself as a very gracious and amazing host, if I do say so myself. So I had some of my friends over to watch Miss SA. Of course it was in all of your calendars, right?
Oh, very good.
That's a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
60th year of Miss SA, it's quite a big deal.
The 60th?
Yes.
Miss South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about it. What happened?
Well, Gareth, a lot of girls come together.
No. Don't be an idiot. Come on, shut up, Ben. How was your weekend, Maps, before we get to Miss South Africa?
No, he must finish his
story. All right, go
story.
On. Tell us about it.
Miss SA this year. Okay, yes. Well, for 60 years in, I do think the production, the show itself, was really, really great. It was a new venue. They did it in Pretoria.
Right.
I do wish we had someone to serenade the winner like that.
Yeah, it's so cheesy.
I'm all about the cheese balls.
I know they're trying
though.
To modernize like the whole idea of having a beauty queen and Miss South Africa, but it's fucking stupid, right?
Well, we have this conversation often.
Yeah, I know. Mm. It feels like we're not getting anywhere. All right, let's ask the only woman in the room, for heaven's sake. What do you think about beauty pageants? I mean, like, you're a very forward-thinking modern woman. Do you like them, or do you think that they need to be scrapped completely?
No, I mean, whether you scrap them or not, I don't see what any kind of impact, positive or negative, that would come of it.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, so you scrap beauty pageants, congratulations, and now what?
Oh.
You've saved
right, exactly.
womankind. Yeah, what mm-hmm. would the impact be
of, change the world,
of
right?
scrapping them?
Yeah.
This is what I loved about it. One of the judges said this, and this kind of got into my bank. I was like, oh, interesting. And she said, it says a lot about some of the women who enter, who know that they are beautiful and they are gorgeous, and already the world will look at them differently, and that they use that to their advantage. And look, I'm like, okay, if you've got it flaunted, go around, shake your little bonbon, walk in a swimsuit, you'll get a diamond crown, and you'll get a sash for the whole year. I just think it's fabulous. It's fun.
Well, 3 million rands worth of prize money also doesn't hurt. So that's nice.
Hello.
Could you sneaky detail there on the side?
Well,
no, it's massive.
Yeah, but look, a lot of these women, you know, this is just an opportunity for them to get to, you know, from point A to point B.
It's a stepping stone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, fine. Like, use whatever avenue is available to you. Yes. And unfortunately, the rest of us ugly ones must just contend with the fact that, shame, you did not hit the beauty lottery. But that's okay too. Like, you'll have, you know, stepping stones of a different kind to try and get to where
you'll have
you want
lily pads, you frog.
Maybe harder to get there, more work, as Kishan.
No, I mean, a lot of these women will use this title strategically, as I say, to just get them ahead.
And it can really help. I mean,
it helps a
lot. We interviewed somebody for a job here late last year, early this year, and she was a finalist, or she was in the top. Not the top 12, not the ones that you saw on TV, but she was like up there. And when she didn't get into the finalists, like the ones who went onto TV last night, then, you know, she was back here kind of checking whether the job was still available. And it had gone, but she was quite capable.
And you didn't hire her straight away?
No, you see, I wasn't, the whole job was contingent on her either making or not making Miss South Africa, which to me is not a good enough reason to go work for somebody or not. She was very good, by the way, and I'll say that she may have been, you know, a very good addition to the team. She was certainly very all the soft skills were there. Like, she was presentable, she was smart, she was very she was nimble. Like, she could navigate any kind of question that you asked her, which is precisely what you would expect of someone who is skilled in those talents, which a beauty queen might benefit from.
Hmm.
In other words, she was very polished as a human being. She dressed well. She was immaculately presented.
She was just like me, except she wore high heels.
Yes, she was. I mean, you would be a great beauty queen. And I'm serious. Like, Sia has
going to add beauty.
Listen, what do you need if you're?
You need to be pretty,
which you may have a subjective view of whether Sia's pretty or not. He thinks he's gorgeous.
I mean, folks, do we really need to go down this road again?
Mm-mm. You also need to be able to communicate effectively. If you're a beauty queen, you need to like people. You need to be able to impress, and
well, you need to be positive as well.
You need to have a lot of energy.
To know the difference between a windshield wiper and a light bulb wave.
Oh, is a light bulb wave when you rub the light bulb?
Yes, when you sort of cup your hand and you just move it side to side, and then the windshield wiper.
Which one do you use when?
You sway.
Which do you deploy at the most at the moment of greatest import?
They're different situations, but for larger crowds, you want to do a windshield wiper wave, because your arm sways from side to side. And then sometimes when you have a little jiggle in your arm, you don't really want to show much. You just do a little light bulb.
That's why Oprah stopped waving like that.
Yeah.
Oprah predominantly does the light bulb.
Yeah.
And the queen as well.
Because in her own words, she's got the bye-bye arms.
Yeah.
But
chicken wings.
Also, you know, the term beauty queen, over time has become, you know, this almost like offensive / patronizing term.
It's like a pejorative term. Yeah.
But a lot of the time I find that, you know, these women who end up entering pageants of this nature, they are quite remarkable already. You know, so for example, the new winner, medical student, now already far more impressive than anyone in this room, like without a doubt.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, also because there's such a big emphasis on charity work and doing for others, a lot of these women, you know, they've got these little projects that they're doing behind the scenes where it really is not about themselves, but it's about helping their communities, their immediate communities. I mean, I can't fault that.
No, you're right.
Yeah, when you do think of it as a stepping stone, last night, since it was the 60th year, they had, 39 or 40 of the former Miss South Africans a little montage situation. Well, some people were literally in wheelchairs.
There was a Miss South Africa from the ancient days in a wheelchair?
40,000 years ago, who had to be rolled up in a wheelchair.
They wheeled her in.
But as all of the women came up, some I had forgotten had even been Miss South Africa. You look at where they are today, you're like, oh, shucks, they've really come a long way. Just in the recent years, Basitsana and Kirishni Naika and Vanessa and Bokang, you know.
No, they've done well.
Far these women have come.
Let's put it this way. First of all, if you are going to win at anything, whether it's a beauty pageant, a marathon, business, politics, whatever it is, if you're going to win at those things, you're the kind of person who could probably do other things and win. Like, there are winning people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, for example, you know, a great athlete, let's say someone who becomes the greatest footballer, could quite easily have channeled those talents into becoming a great golfer, perhaps, or
because they
something
understand
else.
Discipline and work ethic.
Right. So it's a psychological win. And the kind of girls who will enter Miss South Africa and want to win, they might have various motivations for it, but they like to win. And that winning attitude means that a lot of them can win in other places, and they do after they've been Miss South Africa very often. In other words, they're achievers. They're the kind of people who would have been prefects at school. Not that that's by any means an indication, but they want to be the best, right? And the minute you notice that in someone, you can see that it translates into a number of different places and areas.
Yeah.
People are not really ever just good at one thing. There are people who are extraordinarily good at one thing, but they're usually competent at a lot of other things. And that winning attitude is just amazing. So, I mean, well done. Well done to the winner. What's her name?
Tamron Green.
Tamron Green.
Yes.
She's exquisite.
Hmm?
My word.
23 years old from the Western Cape. She is our Miss South Africa as well as our Miss Universe South Africa.
Oh, wow.
So they've done something.
Like, is there a Miss World South Africa that goes?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, look at you, man.
Well, obviously,
she is pretty.
I know that.
Yeah, okay. She's very pretty. Wow.
So this year they're doing something different because there are these whole politics of like, if you enter Miss Universe, you can't enter Miss World, or what if you win one and then that means you can't enter the other. So now we have a Miss Universe South Africa, we have a Miss World South Africa, and from those two, a Miss South Africa was chosen, who's our current one, Miss Tamarind Green.
Okay.
Very good. I bumped into Ruleen Strauss on Thursday night and she told me she was judging.
Mm. Oh. Oh, she looked gorgeous.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Do you know her husband?
Mm-mm. Oh. No, I don't want to.
Oh.
I don't care about her.
Why are you?
You said that with such malice and like envy.
I care about meeting her husband.
Why do you ask about the husband?
Yes, yeah.
Because I just, I don't know. Know that.
Now you've got me interested. Who is he?
That is what I'd like to know. I think he's very smart.
Yeah.
And they have a child together. They just seem perfect.
He's taken. Move on.
What's his story? Who is he?
I have no cooking clue. But just, in my mind,
Daniil Strauss.
They're just all a perfect little family.
Yeah, well, people who look like the perfect family, they got their own shit. Don't you worry. I mean, these two look pretty damn good together. I agree with you.
I hope she snores. Or she has ugly toes or something.
The point is, you know, everybody from the outside, every family looks just perfect. You get under the skin and you suddenly start seeing, you know, for example... this weekend, you can hear it in my voice. I'm feeling a little bit like I've got a cold. I've been snotty and scratchy throat and all that this weekend. So I didn't go out. I didn't do anything. I was at home Friday after I left the office until this morning when I came back to the office. Only people I saw were family.
Mm.
But I spent a lot of time with my two nephews. Now, you talk about families and how everybody looks perfect. So in a picture... my brother and his wife and their two kids, they looked like a really happy little nuclear family, right? My brother and his wife were away for the weekend and they left the kids with my parents, the grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Friday, they were terrific and I had a lot of fun with them. On the Saturday, I popped in again just to see the kids. They were fun. We messed around. It was pleasant outside, so we were playing around outside, and I was playing like hide and seek with the kids and all that kind of thing. By Sunday, I'd had enough. By Sunday, I arrived at my parents' house, so the two kids are still there because their parents were away still, and I looked at them and I was like, you know what, cheers, guys.
That's really funny because that's exactly what they said to your parents when you left.
I'm like, sure.
Oh, I've had enough.
I'm sure. But this is the point, right? Is everybody looks great in pictures. I mean, yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, true.
Think of the perfect family. Who do you project in your mind as like the perfect family? Think about them and wonder about when they're behind closed doors and they're arguing about money, or one of them is sick, or they've got, I don't know, stress at work or whatever. They get just like you and me.
Yep.
Never be jealous of someone else. They've got their shit in different ways.
Mm.
And again, you think about how lucky we are. Someone said to me over the weekend, it was my sister's boyfriend or something, said, you know, we think about how other people lead these Instagram lives. You know, they look like they're having the time of their lives. And they're probably very unhappy. Who knows? But... the only life you know is yours. And sometimes you're so busy worrying about what someone else is up to that you don't stop and take stock of how good your life is. If you had a great weekend and nobody was killed...
Oh, and, that's the bar?
No, seriously.
Did anyone get murdered?
If nobody was murdered and you had food and you got into a warm bed and you managed to put on fresh clothes and you're like... you're in the world's happiest group of people, man.
Sure. Mm.
You know? We're so busy focusing on like the people who have more than us. We don't take stock of how lucky we are compared to the people who have way less than us. And it seems so simple, and I don't want to get too lecture-y about this, but it's really good to just stop and take note. I mean, Instagram models. Why are they always in Dubai, huh? You want to know?
Very good question.
Do you want a free trip to Dubai? Sure you do. Here's how. You could become an Instagram model. They seem to get free tickets to Dubai all the fucking time. To become an Instagram model, it's easy. Just be two things. Hot and willing to give up all your dignity. You're going to be taking titty shots and ass shots all fucking day. There's no time for self-worth or self-respect. Just fucking go for it. If you can maintain the frequency of ass and titty shots for long enough, I promise you, you'll have more creepy men sliding into your DMs than... Sophie Monk has needles sliding into her lips. But Isaac, I'm a man. Isn't it a bit sexist that I can't get a free trip to Dubai? Sure, it is sexist. But guess what? You're a man, so too fucking bad, mate. You're in your late teens, early 20s. You've got nothing else to do. Why not be a bit of a slut on Instagram? And you get paid, free travel. Oh, it sounds too good to be true. And that's because it is. You see, there's a filthy underbelly to all this. These young Insta girls, they don't pay for these trips off their own back. I mean, there's only a certain amount of plane fares that you can buy with the money that teeth whitening companies and skinny tea companies give you for parading around with their products. Oh. The reason these girls are flying first class and getting paid enormous amounts of money is because they're getting paid for sex. You see, these filter-abusing, hashtag-using Instagram slutzillas are being flown first class to Dubai for one reason: to be fucked. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with being fucked. Good on ya. You're doing great, love. But listen, don't carry on like you're on some wanderlust journey, living out your life, finding yourself. You're getting fucked in the ass by some rich oil tycoon. Calm the fuck down, love. There's actually a website that goes into detail about all these cases. If you don't believe me, you can look at it yourself. It's called Tag the Sponsor, and it's been accused of being sexist and slut-shaming for a number of years now. I think slut-shaming is a bad thing. I don't think you should do it. If a girl wants to have sex with a lot of blokes, fucking good on you, love. But if you're getting paid $25,000 flying first class and wearing designer handbags, unfortunately for you, slut-shaming comes with the territory. The operative word there being come. In saying all of that, I've left the most unsettling detail for last. It's not just the sex, it's the type of sex that's going on. For some reason, these men in Dubai allegedly have a lot of fetishes. The number one being, how do I say this? They enjoy defecating on Western women's chests.
Wow.
Allegedly. You can do your own research if you really want to, and it's in my search history, so let's go back to that. It's called crolophilia. Crolophilia? It's pretty fucking disgusting. That's what it is. This whole thing is just, ugh. Like, fuck me. Don't get me wrong. Everyone's got their price. If you want to find out mine, check out my Patreon page.
there's this group. This group that I'm on WhatsApp. And they post... The guys will post pictures of whenever they see some girl that we all know who's on a trip to Dubai.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
And then everybody's like, oh, not her as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, some Joburg girl who's like, she's pretty and all the rest of it. I mean, this is like the opposite of the whole Miss South Africa thing, right?
Yeah, this is an entirely different ball game.
This is the opposite in so many ways because the Miss South Africa is like, it's a public contest and people are looking for, you know, an opportunity to excel and they want to be taken seriously. And Miss South Africa is this dignified thing. And of course, she gets prizes and things and she gets to travel all over the place. But mostly it's doing things and they're not demeaning things.
Well,
this is so different.
I mean, apparently, as Miss South Africa, you're not even allowed to have orgasms during the year of your reign.
Not even one? Mm.
Well, they're not allowed to be in a relationship. Yes, so, but like,
I mean, you could have orgasms on your own.
I know, but I mean, like, come on, you know.
No boyfriends.
One is better. I mean, sure. What, two is better than one?
Sure.
Three or four, if you're into that kind of thing. Right. Like,
just tag the sponsor website that this guy was talking
about. Yeah? Is it bad?
Oh, my goodness.
Is it horrendous?
It really is bad. They even sell merchandise on there. so that if you just want to be loud and proud about being a sponsor or sponsorette is the other term.
Huh.
If you are being sponsored.
It's like a blesser and blessee. That's what it is.
So there are t-shirts available. You can buy a t-shirt that reads, "Feminism ends when the bill arrives."
Yes, yes. I cannot tell you how many times we find ourselves in conversation as women where we're all looking at each other and we're like, you know what? This independent woman thing is BS.
Wow.
Every now and again, we have those conversations.
I saw an article yesterday. You're going to love this. This is hilarious. It's all about how, we often talk in the show about alpha and beta males. Now let's climb into the men. We've climbed into the women this morning. And this is about those, you know, those men who are desperate to be like accepted by women in respect of like their respect for women. Does that make any sense?
So just good guys then?
Well, no, they would be just good guys. No, I buy that there are just good guys, but these are like the kinds of guys who are trying to virtue signal their way in. But there's always something about them that's a little bit dodgy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's ulterior motives.
Right. These are exactly the guys that women should be afraid of. The ones who say, oh, I'm a feminist and all that. Because these guys are like, they're trying so hard to be accepted by women as like a partner, as a, you know, I'm here as a supporter, I'm here as a friend.
Yeah, you can trust me.
Right.
Well, as a rule, you shouldn't trust any human being.
Well, obviously.
Until,
well, yeah.
You know, until you start getting comfortable with them.
Until worth's proven.
Until worth proven, thank you.
You get gay guys, you get straight guys who pretend to be gay, and then turns out that all of a sudden they're not gay. And, these things happen.
This damn thing. I'm trying to find this article now because I marked it over the weekend so I could talk about it this morning, and now it's gone. Anyway, these guys are the most terrible human beings because they will lie to girls to try and inveigle themselves into a girl's. Basically, it's about how these guys should open the door for women, but only if it leads to promotion. These guys should not worry about being called a cuck, which is like a cuckolded man. They will always laugh at a woman, but they shouldn't laugh at men. It's this totally like weird. Basically, these would be the weakest men in the room, and no woman would be attracted to them. They would be like the losers.
Oh.
And a guy has written this. It's not a girl who's written this. And he's written that this is how men should be in the 21st century. They should be these weak, soft, malleable losers, and as long as women can dominate them, everyone will be happy. But the fact is, women don't want men that they can dominate. Those are weak men. Those are like beta males. Why would they want to be around those guys? And there are tons of those guys. Those are the guys who, by the way, commit the school shootings.
Okay, that's a blanket statement.
Well, no, I'll explain it to you, because they can't. These are the guys who can't get laid. They're also often the guys who are inappropriately touching women and behaving like creeps, and because they can't get laid, there's nothing attractive about them to women. They're these weak, feeble, soft shell men, and when women see them, they're not attracted to them. So what happens is these guys end up trying different strategies to get laid. The first strategy is that either they become a creep, or they try to present themselves as feminists, and then they get in some through the back door, so to speak, and women start talking to them and they feel like they're making progress. And what ends up happening is, because they have so little experience with women, they end up behaving inappropriately at some point, and then they become the guy that they warned the girls about. This is obviously what happens, because that's exactly what happens with so many other areas of humanity, where people get so close to what they don't want to be because they actually do want to be it. Do you understand? Or is that very... Am I being too, like, hazy about this?
No, I think you're just making a lot of generalized statements.
Okay, let me explain it this way. The guys who commit these school shootings are often just guys who couldn't get laid. The guys who just didn't get attention from women. They didn't make the football team. They weren't smart enough to be the Dux Scholar. They were, like, underperformers. None of them are brilliant people. Is what I'm saying.
Outliers.
Yeah, they're outliers.
In every facet of the
Their parents
game.
Maybe raised them too closely, or maybe they let them go feral. I don't know. But the fact is, these are not guys who are, they don't get attention from women mostly. Most of these guys are loners, right?
Mm.
They're not inside the community. They've never had a date. The women don't want to talk to them. They're weird. They're the kind of guys who give women the creeps. And those are the, if there's a personality type, I mean, I'd love someone to do the research around this. Maybe there is some, you know, psychological research into this. But I'm telling you now, these are the guys who can't get laid. And then they go into schools and shoot them up. And they're also the kind of guys who will do rapey things because they can't get laid. A normal guy wouldn't behave like that. Guy who can get attention from women, who's charming, who's interesting, who's, you know, maybe rich, whatever it is that he uses to get ahead, whatever he uses to attract women to him, he's got to be somewhere in the up in the hierarchy. The guys who are not in that hierarchy, who are down at the bottom, who are like trying to break out of that desperately, will either become a friend to women and then try to get in that way, or they'll become creepy and rapey.
Well, ISIS proved that to us.
Well, there's another like tangential discussion, but I think we need to get to the five things you need to know this morning. We can get back to this. If you disagree with me, I'd love to hear. And if you agree with me, I'd love to hear, because this is just some wild theory. And I mean, I'm watching these crazy school shootings in America and trying to make sense of it like everybody else. What is the unifying factor between all of these kids who go into schools and shoot? What is the thing that they all have in common? It's not their political beliefs. It's not that they're ideologically isolated. I think it's that they're socially outliers. And that's partly because they're so unattractive to other people. And I don't mean physically. I mean that there's something that it just makes them very off-putting to whether it's men that they're interested in or women. But they get put off. And overwhelmingly, I've never heard of a girl school shooter. Have you? There is not one.
No, the
not one.
The stats are overwhelmingly, you know, it's tipped to one side. Most of these shooters are men.
Yeah, the most recent
it's
one out.
Every single one. There is not one woman.
Think about is the girl who attacked the YouTube officers.
Yeah.
That's
didn't
all.
She turn the gun on herself?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, overwhelming stats to say that your shooter is likely to be a man.
And I'm telling you, it's because men don't know their place in society. A lot of men. Some men do. Anyway, you want to listen to a great podcast? We're launching one soon about men. And that you can listen to, and maybe you have some disagreements or agreements with the host of that show. Anyway, let's get on to it. The five things you need to know this morning.
All right, we'll begin with the story of a 19-year-old man who has been arrested for allegedly killing two teenage girls in a high school in the Northwest.
What?
Yep. The police's Amanda Funani says that the matron at the Stella High School in Freiburg first discovered the body of a 17-year-old woman hanging from the rails of the staircase at the hostel.
Oh my God.
Upon arrival of the police officers, they also discovered the body of a 16-year-old with a string around her neck at the hostel's bathroom. And investigations led to the alleged ex-boyfriend of one of the girls being arrested by Saturday night. He's been arrested and is now being charged with murder. Today, he will be appearing in the Freiburg Magistrates Court.
Yeah. That's another horrible story.
Indeed.
Jesus. Two girls, huh?
Two girls whose bodies were found in this hostel.
Man.
17 and 16 years old, just like that.
All right.
And then movie producer Harvey Weinstein himself has been charged with rape after decades of alleged sexual misconduct. He was met by dozens of photographers and camera crew as he walked into a New York City police station where he was charged with two counts of rape and one count of a criminal sexual act involving two unidentified women. He was then later released on R1 million bond. But these are the charges that Weinstein is going to be facing now.
Huh.
And it would seem as though, you know, behind the scenes, there's been a lot of work that's gone into putting these cases together. Like there was a process where they were building up evidence.
Because we were wondering what the hell had happened. And he disappeared to some rehabilitation camp so that he'd become unrapey.
Yeah, I think there were authorities in London as well who had said that they were looking into allegations that were made against Weinstein, and they were looking to see if they could put a case against him as well. But yeah, now he's going to be facing rape charges. And then Morgan Freeman maintains that he has not assaulted any women. On Friday, he said that any suggestion that he assaulted women or created an unsafe workplace is false. He has apologized to anyone that he may have upset. And this is after media reported that women, at least 8 of them, were accusing him of inappropriate behavior or harassment. But he maintains that he has not assaulted anyone.
Oh, I hope he's right. I hope he's not a creep. Yeah. Morgan Freeman. He's the good, you know, God.
He is God.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That guy, I love every movie he's been in. He's just amazing. I met Morgan Freeman. Remember I did that whole tribute to Madiba with Morgan Freeman and Bill Clinton in New York in, what was that, 2014? And I was up on stage with Morgan Freeman reading, like, he was reading passages from Long Walk to Freedom. I was reading these passages. It was surreal. Because his voice was booming through the room and he was standing right there.
Mm.
I thought, oh my, I'm in the presence of God. It happened to be in a church, which made it even more freaky.
Well.
But yeah.
Imagine that booming voice telling you to turn around and, your cleavage looks good. Ooh,
it was so weird when I met him. Because we were backstage and he, hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. I was like, yes, of course, I know. He's like, would you like to read this passage or let me do it? I was like, you do whatever you want, Mr. Morgan Freeman. Wow, what a guy.
Well, maybe not whatever you want, seeing as now he's facing all kinds of allegations.
I think I was safe. I said the front row of the ladies at the, the tribute. Oh, shame. I hope that's not true. I really do.
Okay. We are living in interesting times.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Yeah, listen. And Harvey Weinstein, this was his time of year, man. He was at the Cannes Film Festival this time of year most years.
This was his rapiest time.
This is his favorite time of the year. Harvey Weinstein, wandering around in the south of France. Have you got a script for me? Oh, can you imagine? All right, let's quickly look at the cryptocurrency market, which is crap. $7,358.16 for a Bitcoin, and Ethereum trading at $563.55. Horrible. The less said about that, the better. Let's get straight to Ben and see what's going on in the sports world.
Real Madrid have done it again.
Yes.
Yes, they won the Champions League final. They beat Liverpool 3-1. As always is the case with these big finals, there's always so much drama, there's just so many different talking points. But one constant going into the match was that you knew that Sergio Ramos was going to be an absolute dickhead and be just a dickhead in the field by everything. He took out Mo Salah. I don't care what you say, this was planned, this was vindictive, and this was deliberate. He got into some sort of like arm hold. And the thing about Sergio Ramos is that him and Luis Suarez, same WhatsApp group, difference is though, Ramos is like another level of creep, another level of dirty, and he kind of got into like this twist with Salah, and then he kind of fell on his shoulder, and that was it. Liverpool star striker gone after 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Crowd were in tears, I tell you. Sergio Ramos, they went on to elbow the Liverpool goalkeeper in the face, and it's calculated dickery. But this is what happens with these big teams, is that they have this ability to have players that can isolate other star players from either side. Some people say it's horrible. Others say, well, it's part of the game. And you will get people who will defend people like Sergio Ramos going, well, this is what champions do. No, this is what dickheads do. So yes, Ramos, you'll have another title to your name. But you, your dreadful haircuts and your terrible tattoos are going to come back and haunt you one of these days. And I wish it upon you. I do. I know that sounds horrible to start off the sport in such a negative mindset. But that guy's a creep. He's an absolute prick. And it's horrible to see that. Because last year, exact same thing against Juventus in the Champions League final. He did whatever he could to get a guy sent off after the guy did nothing. And you stand there and you think, cool, so this is what football is. Guys like you ruining it for everyone.
But it's like lawyers, right? And the only correlation I can make is like a lawyer who's trying every behind the scenes tactic to try and stack the game in his favor. It seems so wrong when this is meant to be a sport.
Exactly. If you don't believe me, just try find the clip of Loris Karius is the Liverpool goalkeeper. I just type in his name and type in Sergio Ramos, and he blatantly runs at this guy, finds his opportunity, elbows him in the face, clearly unsettling the young goalkeeper, who then went on to completely, absolutely fluff the game. He let in two goals. Basically, he threw a ball into Karim Benzema's knee, the ball into the goal. 1-0, Real Madrid.
Wow.
Liverpool fought back, 1-1. Then Gareth Bale came on the field with an absolute wonder goal to get them 2-1 up. And then later in the match, Karius had a ball coming to him rather innocently from Bale's speculative boot. And he couldn't catch it. He just bludged it into his net. 3-1. So naturally, what happens after that? Death threats. Yep. Karius and his family have been receiving death threats, which the police are investigating. But, you know, he's gone onto Twitter and said he's really sorry about what happened, and, you know, it means the world to him to be part of this club, and obviously he's devastated by the fact that Liverpool could have won, but his two howling mistakes obviously led to the result. Sure, there is that. But there's also the fact that this is sport. The guy made a couple of mistakes. That's what happens in the biggest scheme of things. Like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, Liverpool have been having a great season, but Real Madrid know what to do on the biggest stage. Whether it's Ramos being a dick or guys just knowing how to compose themselves. This is a huge deal. You're playing, like, the world is watching you. This Karius guy, he must have felt suicidal on the pitch as everyone was just looking at him, because his mistakes led to the scoreline. But to get death threats against this guy?
Yeah.
What kind of a loser are you? What kind of a loser threatens his child after this? Well, speaking of other threats, Egyptians are naturally not happy with Sergio Ramos because of what happened against Mo Salah, and they are giving him the same kind of things. And you know what? Less sympathy will come out of me for that case. Let's just say that. But I assume part of this whole match is that obviously Cristiano Ronaldo has now gone on to win, I think there's 5 Champions League titles now. It's just an incredible feat. It is 5. It's an incredible feat for any player to be this prolific and to have done this well. But he was sulking like a little bitch after this match. Didn't score a goal in the match, of course. So now it's like, well, yeah. Plus, he's now saying, well, it looks like it could be the end for his time at Real Madrid. Now, it is the best club in the world to be part of, but he's got to the point where he's done so much, and he was talking to reporters, but he was having a bit of a sob because he isn't the world's richest footballer. He is the best footballer. He's 33, though, so whether or not Real Madrid still want him and this petulant attitude of his, he actually said maybe the Champions League should change its name to the CR7 Champions League. I mean, who has won more Champions League titles and more goals?
He's right. The CR7 Champions League, that would be great.
He's right about the most goals, all that kind of stuff, yeah. But he's also being a little child. So, obviously, he doesn't make the most, as I said, money in the whole world, so he probably wants a relook at his contract. When it gets to the stage, you're just going to become bitter and old, and essentially he's just going to be quite like a well-tanned old geezer one of these days. No one's going to care about. So this sort of attitude towards later stage of your career, basically him and Sergio Ramos will be drinking ouzo out of a pub where no one knows about in 10 years time with this kind of attitude. You've got to be graceful in life. I know it's me being preachy here, but you want to be known to be a little bit more than just a guy who is good at football, because those, it fades. Like, what happens if you can't run anymore? Because all these guys end up walking like old horses because of all the injuries you get. So at least have something behind that. Now, if Ronaldo leaves Real Madrid on better terms, he goes somewhere for obviously huge money because he's still a huge quantity in football. What's the legacy really going to be? It's just sad to see this. It's sad to see when a team wins such a massive thing, you have a guy who's so disgruntled and he's making remarks about the Champions League being changed to his name. It's not cool. And a lot of the Real Madrid team were really upset by this. But Gareth Bale, who came on, he had bugger all game time this whole year. Zidane doesn't like him that much. He scored 2 incredible goals, but ultimately won it, along with Karius's mistakes. He now goes into some very interesting contract negotiations with Real Madrid, because he just scored 2 goals in the final of the Champions League, right? So now he's saying, well, guys, I kind of need the first team football, do I not? And they can't argue with that. Although Zidane, to his credit, has won 3 Champions League titles in a row. Clearly he knows who to put in the field and who not to. So, that is all the things to chew on after the Champions League final over the weekend.
All right.
One which I sadly stepped through, but that had everything to do with how much I drank after golf rather than the action of play. In other news from the world of sport, England took an absolute thrashing at Lord's at the hands of Pakistan. Batting first, they scored a measly 184. Pakistan, who were, well, they were okay against Ireland, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. They posted 363. And then England, well, they tried to fight back, but only 242. And then suddenly, they were just... That was it. The game was done. Pakistan 66 for 1. They win by 9 wickets. And people are saying, well, English cricket is now very much in the toilet. They don't know what to do, how to prioritize the Red Bull game. None of the batsmen have any staying power. They all think they're playing one-day cricket. It is a horrible hole they find themselves in. And I would smugly jump on the bandwagon here. They have lost, I think, 6 of the last 8 test matches, but they hammered the Proteas when the Proteas were in England last year. That was the only saving grace. Outside of that, everyone's thrashing them. Everyone's thrashing them. It seems that this team does not have any sort of resolve for test cricket anymore, which is a massive shame. And many people are targeting the ECB for losing their way. All they try to do is they milk as much money out of the white ball game as they can in the couple of weeks they have of summer. Outside of that, none of their players seem to care about test cricket. Definitely showing here. I could tell you that Pakistan team is your usual ragtag bunch of guys with good hair and a little bit of fight. I mean, there's no proven match winners here with like 100 caps or anything like that. They're just guys who like playing cricket and they throw their best at it. French Open side yesterday, and look at that. Already some threat. Oh, huge upsets. Yeah. Defending champion Yelena Ostapenko, she's gone. Done.
What happened?
Well, she got beaten by a Ukrainian girl called Katerina Koslova.
Oh.
Katerina Koslova. You thought she was going nowhere in this tournament, Anthea. Straight up, beats the defending champion. And Venus Williams, she's also out. Yeah, also Wang Qiong of China beat her pretty comprehensively, 6-4, 7-5. So
right.
Roland Garros is underway. If you're a fan of Nick Kyrgios, so that's basically none of you, well, he pulled out through injury. Otherwise, the men's draw is good to go. But two big seeds already out of the women's side of things. Rusty Rasmus announced a gigantic squad of players, 43 in total, to get the Springbok season on the go. So let's not really talk much about that. They're going to play Wales in America this week. That'll be interesting enough. We'll get into that at the time. But the only big talking point is the fact that who did he bring back from overseas? Well, Bismarck Duplessis is there because obviously Malcolm Marks is his number one player right now. He's out. Big injury there. So Bismarck's been brought in for a bit of grunt and a bit of experience. Dwayne Vermeulen, obviously he's there as well. But Faf de Klerk comes back, as does Frans Steen and Willy Leroux. All good players, all good choices. But who is going to be the captain of the squad? Well, today in Johannesburg, right here, Rassie Rasmus will announce his captain pick for the season. And I really hope it is Siya Kolisi. Not because I'm trying to sound politically correct. I say bollocks to that. This guy's proven himself over the last couple of seasons. He's been a standout player for the Box in the last 2 years in a very horrible Box setup. This guy, I think, is the way forward. And, you know, it's nice to have a guy that we can all put our hope and trust into. Mm-hmm. That's what Springbok captains should be. But speaking of rugby, England played the Barbarians over the weekend. And yes, it was an experimental team, but an even more experimental.
Jesus, you can't say the word, huh? Experimental.
Untrusted, challenging team. I'm sorry to get the team. There we go. Beat England 63-45 yesterday. England are on their way. England are on the way, the full team, to South Africa soon for a 3-test series. So
excited about that, Ben.
Eddie Jones under huge pressure here. Gareth, I am, yes, I'm excited.
All right.
I'm excited. And, well, there are a lot more stories, but we have run out of time. I will tell you, though, Justin Rose, what an incredible week he had at the Fort Worth Invitational at Colonial. He won with a score of 20 under. Over four rounds. Absolutely incredible. He beat Brooks Koepka by 3 shots. And at the Wentworth, the BMW PGA Championship, which is the European Tour's flagship event, Francesco Molinari, he won. He beat Rory McIlroy. McIlroy had an absolute crap weekend, and he still finished second. When this guy clicks, no one will be able to get close to him. But unfortunately, he's just not clicking when it's needed. And that is really it. That's all we have time for this morning. More sports as of tomorrow.
Thank you, Ben. It's time for Anthea. I still think that when you sang this originally, you did a great job. Yeah, I think this is terrific.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I just didn't know you had such a singing talent.
I can't be perfect, but I suppose. One of my talents.
So, Anthea, it's Monday, which means we get to check in on all the big stories in the money shot. How did the JSE do in the last week?
Oh, I'm afraid it's not great news, Gareth.
No.
Yeah, so, like, just this whole year, actually, the market's flat to negative. I mean, last week, there were really two major drivers. Firstly, there was a continued sell-off in emerging markets. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we had lots of consumer-dependent companies release results. There were a few bright spots, but predominantly bad news. I mean, I'll start with the macro. So good news is consumer price inflation came out at 4.5%. So things still looking like it's okay. The consumer can sigh a sigh of relief, actually. Food inflation, which makes up about 15% of the basket, came in at 3.7%.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
So, you know, this is not, remember last year when we had meat inflation at 15, 16% because of the drought? Yeah. So this is quite a relief. Petrol, unfortunately, was up about 9%. And that's obviously just got to do with the oil price. So still a bit of a problem. And then, of course, the VAT increase is now in this inflation price, right?
Right.
So it's good. So 4.5% increase in inflation. Not bad. But
it's manageable.
But the Reserve Bank.
What about them?
They met on Wednesday and Thursday, announced on Thursday that they had voted unanimously to leave rates unchanged. So they're just not giving us a break. And not only that, but they've actually turned hawkish. So when we say dovish and hawkish, dovish means they're going to keep interest rates lower. Hawkish is they'll raise interest rates, you know, like one flies
low. So why would they do that? I mean, is that to attract foreign investment?
Partly, yes, that's spot on. And then Lesetša Kanyako did warn.
He said he was our friend. He's not lowering interest rates.
Yeah.
He's not our friend.
Oh, you thought he was your friend, did you?
No, I'm not an idiot.
And he really made a point of warning that it's the exogenous factors. So U.S. interest rates increasing, emerging market sell-off, and then a stronger dollar, basically a weaker rand. And then, of course, the oil price, right? Oil at $80 a barrel is not a good thing for us. He did say a couple of things on the local market as well, but I think he's more worried about things that he can't control. And he's right. I wish they'd cut interest rates sooner, right? Last year.
Half a percent, 1%. Yeah, it's not going to break your back. Yeah, sure.
And then on Friday night, S&P announced that they were leaving South African credit rating unchanged.
Well, that's good news.
Yes.
But it would be even better if they made it.
Improved it, right? Yeah.
Right.
Upgraded us rather than downgraded. Get
us as far away from that junk stuff that Jacob Zuma brought us to.
Yeah. That's kind of what we want to do now, right? I mean, there were a couple of things they said. We've got a weak fiscal position. Net government debt to GDP was looking to increase over 50%. They're worried about that. They're worried about the risk.
Again, the parastatals, right?
All the parastatals. Because the other thing, the big thing is that
Is there still a case? The case seems to have been made so clearly. It's so cut and dried obvious that politicians cannot run companies. This should be the most obvious thing to anybody.
And you are seeing South Africa as a company and they obviously can't run it, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the individual parastatals where the boards are usually appointed by politicians and politicians are usually among those people on the boards. When you put people who are essentially the winners of popularity contests, who ideologues, into practical businesses who have no concept of how to operationally run them, what happens is they end up running into debt.
Absolutely.
We end up in some trouble.
Yeah, spot on.
So do not let the politicians run anything. And everybody who says, let the state run stuff, whether it's banking or mining or anything else, the less the state have to do with it, the better those companies do. That's the fact.
You're making a very good case for privatization now, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. It seems to me that this is a no-brainer. And we've got Aaron Motsoaledi out there arguing for the NHI, which is exactly the opposite of what should happen.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, but I digress.
And actually, just running companies is difficult enough, right?
Right.
You kind of have to have a business head and, I mean, sure, yeah. So the government's role again would be to...
That's exactly the point,
that's
right?
That's where you're going with this.
Yeah. Let's just get their role to a minimum and then they can do the least amount of damage.
Okay. Shall we talk about some company news? So in company news, we had quite a few companies reporting. Massmart, there's a shocker for you. I mean, talk about SOEs being bad. This is a company that's not great. The share was down 18.5% on Thursday alone. They released a trading statement warning that their interim results, which is coming up soon, their earnings could be down as much as 70%. And I think this is an interesting case study because somebody said to me kind of in passing when we were talking about these results, one of the analysts, that he went into Dion Wired because they own Massmart owns them, right, and he priced something and then went away and ordered it on Takealot. And I thought, like, and he said, well, actually, it's cheaper on Takealot.
Yeah, I could believe it.
And so that's the problem, you know. And when last have you been into a macro?
Well, again, these places are huge, big stores. They must cost a lot to run. Logistically, they must be hard to stock. They have rentals. They have space issues,
staff.
Yeah, you're going to take a lot. They have none of that.
It's true. Tekla have a couple of warehouses and a well-oiled system to get your products at a good price.
There you go.
So I don't know.
Where do you think Amazon's money comes from?
I think that the retail sector is under huge pressure, full stop. Am I right?
Absolutely. In fact, all the consumer-led brands, famous brands also put out,
I was just going to say, and then there's that Mark Lamberti situation, which nobody talks about.
Well, he's now at Imperial.
but he used to be the guy when they were in their heyday. He was the one who masterminded that whole Walmart deal and
spent a fortune.
Sure.
Yeah. In fact, they're still spending. They're restructuring. They're moving their head office from Durban to Joburg. That's going to cost them 116 million rand. Oh, there's all sorts going on. Huh. And then, of course, they are retrenching, which they're looking to spend 81 million rand on. You know, there's not easy to run a company.
Yeah.
And then, as I was saying, famous brands, they put out their results as well. Again, consumer-led. But if you remember famous brands, they're the guys who went to the UK and bought not just British Wimpy, but also GBK, Gourmet Burger Kitchen, spent an absolute fortune. It is an unmitigated disaster. It's
a mess. What did they pay for it? A lot.
A lot. Yeah, hundreds of millions. It's just, unfortunately, GBK now is just too big in famous brands' life for the SA business, which wasn't doing badly, by the way, hasn't done so badly. SA business just cannot compensate. I mean, I think what was interesting was that they did do some sort of survey to find out what was going on, why people weren't buying or going into the shops. And some of the reasons, in fact, the main reason was that people were eating out less to save money. 23% of people said. Secondly, consciously eating less meat for lifestyle and ethical reasons. 16% of the respondents to their survey said that. And then thirdly, they're trying to lose weight so they don't go and eat burgers. And then fourth, burger restaurants are more expensive than they used to be. So those are the four reasons that visits to GBK have reduced. I mean, I know a couple of people in the UK. When I asked them, they said, well, first of all, they made their patties smaller and the quality is not that good. So when famous brands took over, basically, they ruined the brand.
Hmm.
I think it was also a timing thing. And unfortunately for famous brands, I think they're going to find it very difficult to dispose of these businesses because they are on like 5 to 15 year leases and it just becomes expensive when you kind of.
Sure. So is that going to draw out of their South African businesses?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then Tiger Brands also reported. I mean, sure, I think this was a tough presentation. The CEO is Lawrence McDougall. I think I wasn't at the presentation, but I heard that one of the analysts actually said to him, why aren't you resigning? Why haven't you resigned? Yeah, because of the listeriosis deaths. That's what they were pointing to, basically.
At the AGM?
The results presentation.
Oh, wow. Someone got up and said, you should resign.
Mm-hmm. They're not shy, these analysts. So.
Wow.
And so they have closed some of their enterprise food meat processing facilities. That cost them 365 million rand. Revenue was down 4%. Headline earnings was down 16%. So that just shows you. Really difficult trading environment.
Huh.
And of course, they're probably going to have to put money aside for the legal claims from the victim's family. So that's another expense that they have to be aware of. And then Melissa's Food Shop. Do you know Melissa's that started in Cape Town?
Yeah, basically the most expensive rusks you can find.
Well, obviously you're not buying them and neither is any South African because they're filed for liquidation.
Oh, hell.
Mm.
Well, no one sent us Melissa's rusks. And that will tell you.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Okay, so there you go.
Shame, so they're in big trouble, huh?
I remember that when I'm doing my analysis. Check if products are being sent to Cliff Central, because if they're not, it's a disaster. It's a doomed company.
All right.
And then Star, you know, the Steinhoff Africa retail business.
Ugh, anything with Steinhoff in it, you don't want to touch.
Yeah, well, so Star are doing a lot to distance themselves from Steinhoff. First, they've paid...
Maybe they should take it out of the first letter of their name.
They probably should, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably just drop Steinhoff and just call it Star, right?
Yeah.
Africa Retail.
Right.
So they paid Steinhoff a 16 billion rand loan that was lent from Steinhoff to Star upon listing. Steinhoff then used that money to pay back some of their debt, but they still have 8.7 billion euros of debt.
Sure.
I know, right? Star are reporting earnings shortly, and they have said because they're still dealing with the Steinhoff fallout, those earnings will be under pressure, unfortunately.
Huh. Okay.
There is one thing I have to tell you before I go. A bit of good news. I mean, we were complaining about the government and how little they do, but actually they've initiated a project with H&M, the clothing business.
Yes.
So that now H&M, well, last week, H&M were in South Africa actually looking for local suppliers. Mm. So they're coming to buy from South African producers and manufacturers, which is great because you really want, you know, this clothing great, actually the world's second largest clothing retailer.
Right.
To be, in the country, because then they'll build factories and they'll employ people, and that's a government initiative. So,
well, that'll be terrific. Let's hope they get it done.
Indeed.
All right, Anthea, thank you very much. There's Anthea Gardner with the Money Shot. Sia, what have you got for us in Said by Sia this morning? Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Are you sure?
I always am.
All right, take it away.
If you are an animal lover, then this story is surely about to warm your heart. Well,
yay.
Actually, if you're a human with a beating heart, kindness is just a good thing to have. So listen to this. When a dog was found more than 3,000 kilometers away from home, 20 different strangers just banded together to make sure that the dog went back to his rightful home and his owner. So it had been more than a year since Jake the dog first went missing from his home in Arizona, and his owners had basically assumed the worst. So much time had passed, they didn't know where their dog was. They just thought, oh shucks, it's kind of over. But they were stunned, however, to find out that their 7-year-old coonhound was alive and well, but somehow...
What kind of dog?
Coonhound. It's a
that
breed.
That doesn't sound right.
Let's not go down that road, please.
That sounds like it should be changed.
Jake, the 7-year-old dog, had somehow ended up 3,000 kilometers away from home. It was Adam from Pennsylvania who was out actually walking his own dogs in April when he saw Jake the dog wandering the street. So Adam then took Jake to the vets and they scanned him and found a microchip. And they contacted the owners to find out that, yes, indeed, their dog was missing. So that's when Adam banded up with a bunch of volunteers to make sure that the dog ended up back with his owners. And it took 20 different volunteers across the entire of the US to take Jake the dog back home. So imagine as a relay race happens, this all happened over 3 days where someone would drive a couple of kilometers to pass him over to someone who just happened to be driving along the way. And eventually after 3 days and 20 different strangers, this took place over 9 states in the US, Jake was back home. So I thought that was kind of sweet. Imagine just
very
people
sweet.
Banding together to carry this dog back home is quite awesome. And it's a year later, so I'm sure Jake's family is quite relieved. And that's your sweet Said by Sia to start your week
I
off.
I like it. Thank you, Sia. That's what a happy story. That's the way we want to start our day on a Monday. It is just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. I hope you're ready for an excellent week. We're going to be looking after you. So stick around. Don't go anywhere.
This is cliffcentral.com.